This is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and this is the Daily Audio Update for Friday, October 17th, 2008. Got a special preview audio of UFC 89 tonight with Torch columnist Matt Pelkey making his audio debut on MMATorch.com. And we are also graced by the presence with the return of Torch senior columnist Sean Ennis. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Good to be here.
Good to be back.
All right, guys, we'll dive right into the main card here. First off, this is looking like it's going to be a sleeper card here, as Sean dubbed it before we came on air. You really have no excuse not to watch this show free on Spike TV tomorrow night, and it really could turn out to be a pay-per-view caliber card. And we start with a really exciting fighter who doesn't have the wins under his belt in the UFC so far, and Paul Kelly taking on Marcus Davis. What do you guys think about this fight here, and what are we looking for in this opening bout?
I'm expecting fireworks. It's a Marcus Davis fight, and it's in England, so that's usually been a pretty good recipe so far. And after seeing, you know, Paul Kelly's fight with Paul Taylor, I don't expect anything less from him either, so. If Marcus Davis has his way, I'm sure he's expecting another fight of the night bonus. So,
Sean, what are you looking for in this fight?
I think this is also going to be an exciting fight. I think you're going to see Kelly try and take it to the ground, where he's going to excel. However, I think Davis has got a pretty good plan for that, and he's no slouch on the ground himself, and he's also got the superior striking, so I think you're going to see a lot of level changes here and a lot of back and forth. So I'm excited for that one. I think it'll be a good fight. It'll probably be a first or second fight on the card, I would imagine, so that'll be good something to get everybody warmed up.
They've really set up this fight with some really good matchups that are really appealing in terms of what the guys are good at. They're just going to complement each other. And you guys know better than anyone, styles make fights, and we've got some good styles clashing together that are going to really complement each other on this card. And I think Paul Kelly is looking to really pick it up a bit, and same with Marcus Davis. They're both looking to put on a show in this opening match, and I don't think they'll disappoint. And speaking of that Paul Kelly-Paul Taylor fight, we've got Paul Taylor on this card as well at 170. Taking on Chris Lytle, coming off his loss to Josh Koscheck at UFC 86 in July. Sean, what are you looking for in this fight, and what's going to happen with Lytle with his continued up and down in the UFC if he loses this fight?
Well, I tell you, I love watching Paul Taylor. Got a great, very appealing style. Always has exciting fights. So I'm expecting more fireworks in this one. I also am a big fan of Chris Lytle as well. And you're right, he's been really up and down lately. Been hard for him to string anything together. He's kind of, he won, then he lost, then he won, then he lost. Last loss coming against Josh Koscheck. I think Lytle is probably the more experienced fighter here. I mean, definitely the more experienced fighter. It'll be interesting to see how Taylor handles that, and what kind of game plan Lytle comes in with, because you never know what you're going to get with Lytle. You know he's going to be exciting, but you never know what route he's going to take.
And Matt, your thoughts on this, and what route do you think Lytle might take in this fight?
I think if he's smart, he realizes the ground is where he's going to win that fight. He's got good submissions. He's got decent wrestling, nothing special, but Paul Taylor clearly is a kickboxer. He wants to keep it on his feet. That's where he's going to win. But I think Chris Lytle knows at this stage in his career, he's going to make his money on exciting wins and big knockouts. So he's probably going to try and keep it standing like a typical Chris Lytle fight. So that plays right into Paul Taylor's hands.
You know, I'm with you on that one. And that's what I think is going to happen here, because you're right, Lytle will probably have the better ground game. Not by much, but he probably will. But he wants to get that that knockout. He wants to have that exciting fight. And I think it's going to play into what Paul Taylor wants to do in this fight, and that's keep it standing and end it early. That brings us to our first of two light heavyweight bouts on the main card. Sokaju back in action against Luis Kane. Sokaju, of course, coming off a rebound victory after losing to Lyoto Machida in his UFC debut. And Kane as well, with only one loss on his record. This should be an exciting light heavyweight bout. Sokaju is fun to watch, and so is Kane. Matt, what are you expecting out of this fight?
I'm really curious to find out really what we know about Sokaju. Everybody was so high on him after those two big wins in Pride over, Rogério Nogueira and Ricardo Arona. But, I mean, let's face it, none of those guys are exactly like stand-up warriors. They're clearly grapplers, and he nailed them with some big shots and put them out. But as soon as he faced a guy that was pretty decent on his feet in Machida, who isn't exactly world-class on his feet, he didn't really fare too well. And Kane's got great Muay Thai. He's going to bring the fight to him. Really probably going to test Sokaju's chin.
Sean, your thoughts on this bout?
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see a lot of stand-up in this fight. Luis Kane is a beast. Both of these guys hit really hard. I don't know how long you're going to see this one going. I don't see it getting past the second round at the very most, because someone's just going to connect sooner or later. But definitely intriguing in that we're going to see, probably going to see which guy can take a better punch, because I don't see it going to the ground very much.
Yeah, this is another one that should be another stand-up brawl, and I think if Sokaju lets it get in the clinch game too much, Kane's going to come in with his Muay Thai experience, and he's going to take it over. And so I expect Sokaju to kind of keep it separate, but still trying to stand it up and not let it get in too close. But we'll see if he's successful in that. That brings us to our co-main event of the evening. Then two fighters who are just kind of enigmas right now. They're both capable of having really good performances and shocking performances and good fights, but they're both capable as well of not showing up, or in Jardine's case, not having the chin to stand in there with some people. So Keith Jardine and Brandon Vera here, it's a very interesting bout. It could very well end in a first round knockout, could very well end in a second round submission. It could very well end in a three round, not that exciting snooze fest as Vera's last fight did. So I'm intrigued to see which Keith Jardine and which Brandon Vera show up tomorrow night. And Sean, what do you think is going to happen in this?
I think you're exactly right. This is a very intriguing fight, but it's a tough one to predict. I see it going one of two ways. I think you're going to either see Jardine, either one or both guys pushing the action. I think Jardine is gonna be there to fight. I don't know what Vera's mindset is going to be, whether he's going to try and bait Jardine or whether, he's going to try and go after him. Jardine's typically had better success with guys that try to bait him in. I think he's a guy that, like you said, he's got some big wins, obviously, Chuck Liddell and Forrest Griffin. But he got caught against Houston Alexander, which, Alexander hits pretty hard. It's not a hard thing to do. And Vanderlei Silva game planned him, flawlessly, just baited him in with that leg kick and knocked him right out and hit him on the button. It'll be very interesting to see what happens here. I think Jardine's probably got the edge, but it'll be interesting to see how Vera comes in, because typically guys that drop down a weight class don't always look all that great in their first fight. And Vera didn't look exactly like a world beater against Therese Andy in his light heavyweight debut, but sometimes in that second fight in the lighter weight, they get cut down better. They they prepare a little bit better. They have the taste for it, and they look better. So it's really interesting. I don't know what's going to happen here for sure, but I think Jardine probably has the advantage.
Well, and I think he's got to be more motivated to get down to the weight with this fight. against a more marquee name like Jardine, as opposed to the undercard fight with Rhys Andy. So and he came in at 203. So he got down below the weight. He weighed in at 203 today. So he's there, and we'll see if that affects him with stamina and whatnot when it gets down to it tomorrow. Matt, your thoughts on this?
This is a really intriguing fight for me. I think we know exactly what we get with Keith Jardine when he faces guys who kind of sit back and let the action come to them, like Forrest Griffin and Chuck Liddell. You know, he's fully capable of picking people apart from the outside. But when he faces attacking opponents like Wanderlei Silva and Houston Alexander, they come in and pressure him and completely exploit his glass chin. And I think Brandon Vera has the talent to just come in and blow through Keith Jardine. But, I mean, what have we seen from Brandon Vera in the last three fights? You know, he's won a lackluster decision over Rhys Andy. He's lost a lackluster decision to Tim Sylvia, and he got dominated by Fabricio Werdum in the first round. And there's certainly no shame in losing to Werdum, but, you know, after blowing through his first, you know, four opponents in the UFC, they all kind of had him ticketed to stardom, and he's kind of fallen off the map since then. So I think if he's smart, he realizes he's got good Muay Thai. He needs to get inside, punish Jardine with the knees and close punches. And I mean, look what Houston Alexander did, was just destroying him from inside with close punches. So I don't think Vera has the power of Houston Alexander, but I think he has a lot more talent. So I think this is personally Brandon Vera's fight to lose. But, you know, I like Sean see it one of two ways. I think either they're going to be passive, and that sets up for Keith Jardine to just sit on the outside and pick him apart, or Vera comes in motivated and fights from close in and either, you know, stops him with strikes or can take him down and submit him.
And that brings us to our main event of the evening, which, you know, in this upcoming fall-winter climate of massive main events and co-main events and title fights and everything, we're getting a treat in Michael Bisping and Chris Leben on free TV. I really think this is going to be one hell of a fight. You know, I think it's highly possible that it goes to a three-round slugfest-type decision. It's highly possible that one of them catches the other in the first round, second round, third round. We could have, I don't see this fight being on the ground much. I think both of them are going to want to trade, although I think Bisping's not going to want to get in too close and trade really close shots with Leben. But I think we've got a motivated Chris Leben coming in here, and you know, he despite how it looked losing to Anderson Silva the way he did, he's really been nothing but solid in the UFC for almost his entire career with them. And I'm a big Chris Leben fan from the first season of The Ultimate Fighter on. I like Michael Bisping. I think he's a good fighter, and I think he's been dominant at 185 since coming down. But I think he's running into a really, really good, really tough fighter in Chris Leben. And, you know, with the subsequent performances of Anderson Silva that we've seen, it's becoming more and more clear that it wasn't Leben getting embarrassed by Silva. It was Silva's just that far ahead of the competition. Sean, you think I'm off on that point?
Not really. I think Leben, you know, He's always been very solid, and he's got a chin of granite. So, you know, he's not a guy that you want to necessarily go in there and trade with unless your name is Anderson Silva. You know, his last couple losses, his only two losses in the UFC besides the Silva one, was to Jason McDonald, who, you know, was just far better than he is on the ground, and Caleb Starnes, who was able to take him to a decision and win that way. But the last two guys that he's faced in Terry Martin and Alessio Sakara both hit very, very hard. I would wager, you know, harder than Mike Bisping, and were not able to knock him out. In fact, he knocked both of them out, Martin in the third round. So, you know, this is not the kind of fight that Bisping's going to want to stand stand with Lieb and trade because it's just not a good idea. You know, and I'm not, you know, this thing's a good fighter. I'm not completely sold on him yet as the next big thing. But, you know, I'm not saying he can't be, but I just haven't seen him beat anyone at a top level yet. I think Chris Lieben would be taking a big step towards that were he able to get past Lieben. But, you know, beating Charles McCarthy and Jason Day at 185, while he looked impressive in both fights, that's not exactly, you know, the greatest resume in the world, especially after coming off of split decision loss against Rashad Evans and a split decision win, which probably should have been a loss against Matt Hamill. So this is really going to be either Bisping's coming out party or it's going to be something to send him back to the drawing board for a while.
See, and that's the thing I see with this fight is you're very right. The smart play would be take this fight to the ground. But Bisping's across seas, he's in his hometown, you know, or he's in his home country, taking on the American, and he's going to be the total. I mean, if we go pro wrestling here, he's the hardcore face to Chris Lieben's just massive heel coming in here, and he's going to want to keep it exciting. He's going to want to keep the fans revved up, and I think that he's done that at previous shows over in the UK, and I honestly see him wanting to keep this as a more exciting fight, and I think that might end up in a lack of real strategy in taking it to the ground on Lieben, and I think we could see a stand-up war that could be in Lieben's favor. Matt, your thoughts on this main event?
I am a big Michael Bisping fan, and I think this is a horrible matchup for him. I think he's very solid and accurate on the feet, but he really doesn't have a whole lot of power in his hands, and he has a very suspect chin. You know, we saw him rocked against Elvis Sinisic in, you know, one of his first fights in the UFC, and that guy has a sub-500 record. So, I mean, can't be too impressed with fights like that. But I think where he's best is in his ground and pound. He's a cardio machine, and he's relentless and varied with his strikes, and he just keeps going on until it's done. So the problem is Chris Lieben's a better wrestler than he is, so I don't see him being able to get to the ground. So his choice is really going to be to try and pick him apart and probably win a decision. I don't think he has enough power unless he can catch him with a head kick or something to knock out Chris Lieben. I think he could probably stop him with strikes if he wore him down into the ground, but I'm just not so sure he can get him there. So I think, you know, I like Michael Bisping. I think if he could win this fight and maybe one more, he sets up perfectly for a huge fight with Anderson Silva down the road somewhere. I just don't think he's going to be able to get through this fight.
Well, in our prelim card now, guys, we've got a welterweight fight, a heavyweight fight, and four lightweight fights. You know, I'm curious. I honestly think two, maybe three of the main card fights could end early, second round or before. So we could see one or two of these prelim fights making it to the card, especially on tape delay when they might have more time to decide what to put in it for Spike TV. And with the lightweight bouts and that welterweight bout between Gono and Hardy, I'll tell you, I really am interested to see more of Shane Carwin at heavyweight, the undefeated heavyweight, kind of being fed a guy in Neil Wayne here. And I want to see if Sakara can continue his streak of really early knockouts. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's kind of getting a little bit of buzz around him. And really could be poised in the very weak heavyweight division in the UFC to be pushed somewhere next year if he continues to win the way he has. I want to know what are the fights you guys are looking for on the prelim card? What fight do you think is going to be a standout fight, and what do you think might show up on the main card? Matt, we'll start with you.
I think the most intriguing fight on the undercard is the Hardy Gono fight. It reminds me kind of a lot of the Roger Huerta Kenny Florian matchup, where you've got a kind of an aggressive push the pace brawler in Hardy against Gono, who's a little unorthodox and a little more patient and smart with his fight and much more technical. And I think I expect Gono to probably frustrate him the same way Florian did to Huerta and probably take a decision in that fight. As far as the most exciting fight, the one I want to see, maybe a little surprisingly, would be Sam Stout, Terry Etim for me. I think Sam Stout is one of the more underrated strikers in the UFC, if not all of MMA. I've never seen a boring Sam Stout fight. His two fights with Spencer Fisher were absolute stand-up clinics. And Terry Etim, I think, is going to be excited to not have a guy that's trying to take him to the ground, so he has to submit him, get some guy to stand up. And I don't think that's necessarily you want to see Sam Stout standing on the other side of the cage from you, if that's what you want. But I'm expecting probably a round and a half of fireworks in that one, and probably a TKO at some point in the middle of the second round by Sam Stout.
Sean, what are you looking for from the prelims?
Well, I believe you'll see some of Shane Carwin tomorrow night. I don't believe you'll see very much of him, because that fight will last less than 2 minutes. I think you're going to see, you got Neil Wayne, who his nickname is Old School. They call him Old School because he's kind of like a modern-day Tank Abbott, so to say. You know, he goes in there, he throws his fist, he's 4-0, sure, but he's far, far overmatched for Shane Carwin, and Carwin is going to probably destroy him within a couple minutes. So I imagine you'll see that one. I would also like to see, actually, the two fights that Matt mentioned is Gono Hardy and Stout Etim. I think you're going to see Stout pick Etim apart for three rounds and win the decision. Etim's a tough guy to stop, so he'll make it interesting. But the Gono fight as well is very intriguing. And also, David Barron and Jim Miller should be able to put on a pretty good fight. Those are two guys coming off pretty big wins. David Barron beat Maha Sakurai in a Shooto event. And Miller, of course, at the last IFL event, beating Bart Palaszewski. So these guys are both making their UFC debuts. And it could, it's one of those things where you never know. You might get something pretty exciting out of it. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think you'll see the Liadon and Bielkidin fight. And I think the Shivo Eklund fight is kind of a toss-up. You know, I haven't seen too much of either of those guys except getting beaten in their first UFC fights. So I think that's going to be your best bet. You're almost definitely going to see Shane Carwin in a quick victory. And if there's time, I wouldn't be surprised to see either the Stout Etim fight or the Gono Hardy fight, because those are two that are probably going to be good fights, but have a good chance of going to decision.
And like I said, guys, we've got an exciting card tomorrow night. This really could turn out to be a pay-per-view worthy card. I'd venture to guess with one other marquee fight on this card, it would have been a pay-per-view card. But they set it up nicely for those fans in the UK, and this should be a really, really good show. So it's prediction time, guys. I want to know what you guys are thinking for this main card. Who do you see winning, and how do you see him winning it? Sean, we'll start with you.
All right. I've got Marcus Davis beating Paul Kelly in the second via TKO. You want me to just keep going?
Go ahead.
All right. I got Lytle over Taylor by submission, probably in the late first, mid second. I've got Jardine over Vera by decision. I've got the Soka Duquesne fight is very interesting, because it's like, I can't remember which of you was saying it, but it depends on where it takes place. If they get in close, then Kane's going to knock out Sokaju. I think if they stay far away, then Sokaju's got a pretty good chance of taking out Kane's legs and knocking him out. But I'm going to take Kane. I'm going to take Kane in this one. I think it could be a breakout fight for him. I think we get Kane in, let's say Kane in the second. These are all the stoppages in the second for me. So Kane in the second, and then I'm going to take I'm going to take Lieben over Bisping in the third. I'm going to say late third knockout for Bisping or for Lieben.
Matt, your picks for this fight, for this card?
I've got Marcus Davis submission in the second round. Paul Taylor over Lytle by decision. I agree with Sean. Jardine over Vera decision in that one. I think in the Sokoju-Kane fight, there's going to probably be a bit of a surprising feeling out process for the first couple minutes, and they probably won't really get into it towards later in the first round. So I think that'll probably continue into the second, and that's when you'll see the stoppage by strikes for Kane. And I think Lieben stops Bisping somewhere late second round with strikes.
Well, I'm with you guys on Davis over Kelly, although I think it'll probably be Davis' third round submission. I think Kelly will be able to survive through a couple of rounds and put forward a good performance in there. I think Taylor's going to outstrike Lytle. I'm going to take Taylor with a second round knockout. Again, Kane Sokoju is probably the hardest one on this card to really get a real feel for. Cause it all, Sean, like you said, like I mentioned earlier, it all depends on where the fight takes place. But I think Kane's going to pull out the victory, probably third round, either knockout or submission. I'm going to go with submission on it. And then, I think Vera comes in and surprises Jardine. I think Jardine he's coming in to rebound after the Silva fight, but I think Brandon's looking to prove that his name still belongs in a semi-marquee spot, especially with the chance at a big fight in the Philippines in 09. I think he's realizing that he needs to have better performances, and I think he's going to knock out Keith Jardine in the second round. Chris Lieben, I'm going to take early third round knockout. I just think he's going to overpower Bisping. I don't think Bisping is going to be able to keep it down if he takes it down. Because he's not as skilled on the ground as, say, Jason McDonald was against Lieben. And I don't think he's going to want to keep it on the ground too often, like I was saying earlier. So, that's my thoughts on the main card. Matt, any final thoughts from your debut audio here?
No, it was a good time. I hope I'll talk to you guys again on Sunday. We'll go over the fights and find out how wrong we were with everything we said. That'll be a lot of fun. But I think this is really doesn't have any potential to not be a great free card. There's not a lot of huge names on it, but those are generally the ones that come and surprise us. And when you look at a card and you see Brandon Vera, Keith Jardine probably has the most potential to be the worst fight. That sounds pretty good to me. I'll take that any day of the week.
Agreed. Sean, your thoughts on the card, your final thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think this has got a big possibility to be a very good card. I think the only thing holding back from me in a pay-per-view caliber card is the lack of a title fight. But yeah, I mean, you've got, if nothing else, you've got the names on there. And the styles on there to make for an exciting evening of fights. I mean, obviously, you never know what you're going to get. But from the looks of things, looks like a pretty a very decent card. And it also helps that it'll be, it'll be free and it'll be pre-recorded, so they'll have a good idea for pacing it out and hopefully getting us some undercard fights in there too.
Well, guys, thanks again for joining me on this debut preview edition. I hope to make this a regular part of the audio forecast for MMATorch.com. And be sure to check out Jason Bent's review of The Ultimate Fighter, Episode 5 from this week. And then join us tomorrow night as Sean Ennis returns with his blow-by-blow coverage of UFC 89. And I will be providing live coverage as well. And we'll be back once again, an audio roundtable reviewing, as Matt said, the wrong picks that we make and how wrong we were with our predictions. And I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
All right.
All right, take care. I don't care about it.